الصراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سورة إبراهيم tonight إن شاء الله. سورة إبراهيم verses 34, 35 and probably 36 too إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب الله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سيما سيدنا ومولانا الإمام الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي المنتظر أرواحنا له الفداء وعجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I'm going to read from 32 إن شاء الله through 36. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم وسخر لكم الفلك لتجري في البحر بأمره وسخر لكم الأنهار وسخر لكم الشمس والقمر دائبين وسخر لكم الليل والنهار وآتاكم من كل ما سألتموه وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها إن الإنسان لظلوم كفار وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا البلد آمنا واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام رب إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس فمن تبعني فإنه مني ومن عصاني فإنك غفور رحيم صدق الله العلي العظيم. So the blessings of God are numerous, countless. In 34, God says, وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. And he has given you something, not everything, something of all what you have asked him. And he has given you something of all that you had or you have asked him. وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Truly, if you attempt to enumerate, to count the blessings, the gifts, the bounties of God, you would not be able to count them. They are countless. Countless. Now, some people say, but I asked God many times, he didn't give me. God here says, وَآتَاكُمْ, he has given you, O people, he has given you, مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ, something of all that you have asked him. But you asked him many times and he didn't give you. So is there any contradiction here? Sometimes you ask with your tongue. Sometimes you don't ask with your tongue. You ask with your innermost, with your heart, with your conscience, with your fitrah, the innate, the natural innate that you have inside. Your fitrah, your basic need is asking God. Such as what? Asking God for intelligence. God already has given you intelligence. Aql. God has given you brain. God has given you freedom. God has given you family. God has given you health. God has given you food. God has given you peace and security. God has given you knowledge. God has given you children, good friends, good neighbors, good parents. The things that you need them, the basic things that you need, any person needs to prosper in this life, God has already given. God has already given to us. The things that we really need to excel, to move forward. God does not expect me to do good and He doesn't give me anything. God provides me with what I need to do good and then He asks me to do good. So these things God has given us. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. But sometimes we ask things which God knows it does not work for us. It might work against us. Let me give you this analogy, simple analogy. If a child of a year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, keeps asking his mother for what? Kids ask for what? Candy. This is their favorite, you know, food. Candy. Does the mother give him every time he asks? The mother is a merciful mother, wise mother, caring mother. She's not careless. If she's careless, she would give him, just to shut his mouth. But the mother says, no, it's not good. He's going to destroy his health. I'm not going to give him candy every time he asks for. Once in a while I'll give him, but not all the times, because this is a baby. He doesn't know what is good and what is bad for him. God sometimes says about some of us, we are babies. You are careless about yourself. You are asking something to destroy yourself, not to build yourself. Do you know what God says in Surah Yunus? وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرَّ اسْتِعْجَالَهُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ. If God is supposed to listen to us, every time we ask Him, sometimes we ask Him for evil, but we don't know this is evil, this is bad. And if He responds every time we ask for evil, then everybody is going to perish. No one is going to survive. But now God says, no, I'm not going to respond to you because I love you. I care about you. I care about you. Sometimes we don't care. We don't know what will happen in the future. We insist because of our selfishness. We insist on something bad. Just like that child. Let me ask you this question, my friend. If you go today to the society outside, to the street, and you carry a bundle of money, let's say $10,000 cash money in your hand, and say, oh people, please, whoever has need, come and take, but take exactly what you need, not more than that. Not more than that. Not more than what you need. Take what you really need and leave the rest for others. And you carry the money and give it, present the money to all people. What do you think? What would the majority of the people do? They will take what they need or they will take the whole bundle? Which one? The whole bundle. 99.9% of the people are going to say, this is what I need. I need all of it. But they don't need all of it. They don't need it. This is their nature. Hirs. Insan, Allah says in this verse, La zalumun kaffar. He's a wrongdoer. He's ungrateful. He takes what he doesn't need. He doesn't give it to others. If a humanity practices the principle of sharing, just one principle, sharing, believe me, we would never find a homeless today, a hungry person today, a starving person, a sick person, if we just believe in the concept of principle of sharing. We share what we have with others. There would be no suffering. But because we don't share. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ. Truly, man is a wrongdoer. ظَلُومٌ. Wrongdoer. He's not just. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Kaffar means ungrateful to God. He wants everything for himself. He doesn't want to share. This is why God says, I'm not going to listen to you. Don't waste your time asking me some senseless questions. Don't. If you want God to listen to you, your questions and your needs has to be reasonable. Some people say, I want $10 million, but what are you going to do with the 10? You couldn't even take care of $10,000. You wasted them. You think God is going to give you $10 million? So this time to destroy yourself and your entire community. God says, I give when I know you can handle it. I read in the news today, just today in the afternoon, that many billionaires in America and in Australia and other countries, they declared, billionaires, some one of them has $130 billion, one of them has $57 billion, one of them has $40 billion. They said, we are not going to bequeath this money to our children. We leave no inheritance for them. They went to the court and they said, the money we're going to leave behind is going to go for charity, because our children, if this money goes, this is what they say, if this money goes, if this huge wealth goes to our children, it is going to corrupt our children. They don't know how to handle it. Bill Gates, his daughter is getting married soon from an Egyptian guy, an Egyptian Muslim. Her father has $130 billion. The only portion he is giving to his daughter, and your daughter is the closest one to your heart. Do you know that? Closer than your son. This is what I believe. He is giving her only $30 million out of $130 billion. So they say her husband, who is from Egypt, he has now more money than the daughter of Bill Gates, because the husband has $70 million. And the daughter of Bill Gates has only $30 million. They say if we give them this wealth, they're going to be corrupted. They don't know how to handle it. So if those people have this wisdom, you think God does not have this wisdom? God says, I give you according to what you need. Because there is an important law in the Quran that does not change. And God says in that law, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. Truly, indeed, mankind, human, is going to transgress. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. Once أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. When he becomes rich. Very few. There are exceptions, of course. But the exceptions are very few. Very few people are going to say, I'm going to share this. I'm going to give it to charity. It is not going to make me arrogant. Money is not going to change my character. Very few. Very few. But the rest, money is going to change them. So this is why God says, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُهُ. God has given you something. مِنْ تَبْعِضِيَّ here. مِنْ, it means something, not everything you asked for. Because it is not wise to give you everything you ask for. It is not wise. It's not good for you. God's decision is based on hikmah, expediency, and wisdom, and mercy. And it is like the mother who does not give her son or her daughter everything they ask for, because they know it's not good for them. It's detrimental. It's not good for them. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. God says sometimes in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Insan sometimes asks God, petitions to God, asking for something sharp, evil for himself, as if that thing is good for him, but it's not good. It's not good, it's evil. God knows this is evil for him. Wakan, why? Because the nature of mankind, ajula, hasty, desperate. Whenever he needs something, he needs it one now. We need it now. Do you see the picketers, huh? When do we need that? We need it now. Now, not tomorrow. You cannot wait for tomorrow. God says, this is not good. I'm not going to listen. Some kids yell at their mothers, now, now, take me now. Take me to Subway now, McDonald's now. Buy this for me now. Now, today, not tomorrow. God says, no, I'm not going to do that. Because this is evil. You are praying for evil. You are praying for your own destruction. وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. What is the best way of praying to God? This is the best way. It's to say, God, if what I am asking you for is good for me, for my health, for my well-being, for my future, for my family, for my prosperity, for my success, for my iman, for my dunya and akhirah, then let it happen. If not, don't give it to me. That is the best way. That is the best way of praying to God. This is the prayers of a true mu'min, someone who has a trust in God, someone who has belief in God, someone who believes in the mercy, and the wisdom of God. This is the way we pray to Him. If this really works for me, good, for my dunya and akhirah, does not destroy me, does not hurt me, then make it happen. If not, if you know, God, this marriage is not good for me, this house is not good for me, this job is not good for me, this trip is not good for me, this friend is not good for me, then don't let it happen. Prevent me from doing it. Protect me. That is the best way of dua. وَلَا حَاجَةً مِّنْ حَوَائِجُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ هِيَ لَكَ رِضًا. See? هِيَ لَكَ رِضًا وَلِيَ فِيهَا صَلَاحٍ إِلَّا قَضَيْتَهَا وَيَسَّرْتَهَا. The haja, the need. If you agree with it, you approve it, and then there is goodness in it for me. There is goodness in it. هِيَ لَكَ رِضًا وَلِيَ فِيهَا صَلَاحٍ. Then make it happen. Then make it. That is the best type of dua. وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. God, His bounties are countless. If you bring pen and paper and try to count them, not out of arrogance, huh? If you give this pen and paper to an arrogant person, he says, God has no bounties. He didn't help me. He didn't even listen to me. But when we keep arrogance out of our hearts and we submit to God, we submit to Him, khushu' and khudu', submission to God, then we will find out that these bounties are countless. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Truly, the one who is away from God, God is not saying all mankind are ظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. God saying those who divert from the path of God, who don't understand God, who are not willing to accept God in their life, those people are going to be wrongdoers and ungrateful. And then Quran switches to the story of one of the greatest people, the patriarch, Ibrahim al-Khalil, the leader of resistance, the leader of the truth, the leader who passed many tests with honor. And the Quran says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. Once Ibrahim said to his Lord, O Lord, make this town, al-balad, town, aminan, safe and secure. It's a reference to what town? Mecca. Because when Ibrahim placed his wife Hagar and Ishmael in that land was barren. There was nobody there, no trees. أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ. No vegetation, no humanity, no humans, no community, not even a single family living there. He left his family in a place which was completely empty. Like today, Masjid al-Haram was completely empty Thursday. I saw a picture of it. maybe two or three guards because of the coronavirus. They, you know, so it went back to 4,000 years ago when Ibrahim were only three people next to the house of God. And this is another test from God. He's testing us. When God gives health, he's testing. When he takes the health away, he's testing. When he gives money, it's a test. When he takes money away, it's a test. All tests. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. God says, we take you through tests to see which one is sabbar. Sabbar is exaggeration of sabr. Which one of you is really patient, steadfast? Shakur, and grateful. I was speaking to someone who contracted coronavirus yesterday. He kept saying, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, no complaint. Alhamdulillah, I'm in the best condition. This is Iman. Iman, when you are connected to God, you don't complain. You don't complain. Because you know, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Yes, we take precautions, definitely. We seek treatment, definitely. But these things are tests from God. We should not freak out. We should not worry. Yes, precaution is good. But then, it should not take the sleep away from you. This is dunya. Dunya is running. These things happened in the past. Epidemics happened in many, many countries throughout the history of humanity. Wiped out many people before us. This is sunnah. This is a tradition, the pattern of this life. But you should not lose your faith. And these things, when it comes, these tests, trials and tribulations, should get us closer to God. Closer to God, not away from God. If you are a true believer, these trials and tribulations are going to get you closer. If someone has shaky faith, phony faith, artificial faith, then it's going to take him away from God. This is how you test the faith of people. At the time of the trials and tribulations, whether they get closer to God or they run away from God. They blame God for that. We have to be careful of what we say. Very careful of what we say. Our reaction should be very careful. Don't say something that makes God unhappy with you. Say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. We don't complain, it's a test. Inshallah, Allah will bring us healing and shifa and recovery for all the people. All the people. This is a widespread imtihan and test from God. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. So he said, he asked God first and foremost for something very fundamental. What is it? A basic need that we all need, fundamental need. Without it, our journey is going to be difficult. What was it? Aminan, amn, peace and security, safety and security. Because if there is no safety and security, people are shattered. People cannot focus. Only few, but the vast majority of them cannot focus, cannot even function. I've been to some countries where you really need, when you leave your home, you need to have four locks, huge locks. Keep 10 minutes just locking the door. And I've been to other countries, the owner of the apartment, my host, said to me, said, Mustafa, leave the apartment, don't lock the door. I've been here for 20 years, nobody came inside. I've been to such city. The owner said to me, when you leave the apartment and come with me to the majlis, just leave it. Leave the door open. You have these two different examples. Two different examples. In some countries, you cannot leave your car outside. When you go back, you don't see it. Alhamdulillah, gone with the wind. You can't leave your home. You can't leave your business. Unless you have cameras, you have, you know. And in other countries, you leave the business. I've been to some countries And I went into a shop, and there was no shopkeeper. And there is a sign that says, get what you want and put the money in this box. Amn and Aman, beautiful country. You love that country. Even if they are not your people, your language, your culture, your religion, but you love them, you respect them. This is the essence of life. Amn and Aman, the beauty of life. Why many of you pay higher rents to live in the city of Irvine here? Because of safety and security. Compared to other cities. Sometimes the apartment here is $3,000 a month. The same apartment, the same size, you can find it 20 miles, 30 miles away in some areas for $600. But people don't live there. Because there is no aman, no safety, no security. So Ibrahim said, God, the first thing I want for this city, Mecca, aman, safety and security. Because I want people to come and worship with peace of mind. They don't worry about their lives, their families. Women are safe, children are safe, visitors are safe, inhabitants are safe, and animals are safe. You know the muhrim, when we enter in the state of ihram, when you go to Umrah and Hajj, and you put on the dress of ihram, there are 25 things that are forbidden to practice. One of them is sayd, hunting. Cannot hunt anymore. Animals can roam freely in peace. You cannot hurt the animals. Not only hunting, but hurting them, harassing them. You cannot harass the animals. You don't harass birds, even insects. Insects, you cannot hurt them. They might hurt you, but you tell them, please, please, I'm in a state of ihram. Not now, please, you know. And you cannot cut the trees. You cannot. Shajarul haram. The trees of the haram, you cannot cut them. You can't take a leaf or a branch from the tree. Everything lives in aman, in peace. God says this place is an oasis of peace. Not only for humans, for insects, for animals, for plants, for everyone. رب اجعل هذا البلد آمنا آمنا. Number one, we need amn and aman. When there is aman, you can function after that. You can work. You can establish yourself. But if there is no aman, there is no peace and security, you can't even live in that country. I went to a country some 10, 12 years ago. African country. My host will take me to places. You know, they invited me for lectures. He does not stop at the traffic light, red traffic light, he doesn't stop. I said to him, hey, what are you doing? You are endangering my life. He said, Sayyid, look. He rolled over his sleeve. He showed me his arm here. He said, look. I said, what's this? He said, these are bullets. He said, one day I was stopping at the red light. Someone attacked me with a gun. He said, leave your car. Leave your car. Give me your car. So when I sped away, he shot at me. And look at these bullets. So I'm not going to stop at red light. I said to him, and I'm not going to ride with you next time. Find me. There wasn't Uber at that time. So, no aman, you know, when you live in a place, you know, that you worry, constantly worry about yourself, your daughter, your son, your house, your business, your car. What is the beauty of it? I said to him, you are crazy. You came from another country. He's an immigrant. He's not African. I said, go back to your country. Enjoy your country. Enjoy the aman in your country. Because of money, you endanger your life here? Are you crazy? So, he said, اجعل هذا البلد آمنا. This is first request. The second request of Ibrahim, واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام. And keep me from worshipping idols. That is the second request. Because if I worship idols, then I have done nothing. The money would not help me. The good weather would not help me. My bank accounts are not going to help me. My property, my mansions, my homes are not going to help me. And imagine who says this. this sentence, this request. Ibrahim, who was driven out of his home in Babylonia, he was born in the city of Ur. Ur, ancient name of his city is Ur. Today is in Nasiriyah's Iraq. There is a town called Nasiriyah, southern Iraq, Nasiriyah. So it's outside Nasiriyah. This is where he was born. He destroyed the idols. They sentenced him to death. They threw him into fire. And God saved him. After that, he had no place. They asked him to leave. Yalla, leave. He destroyed the idols. But then he still says to God, protect me against idol worship. What does that mean? Not only protect me, but protect Wabaniya. He had two sons, Ismail and Ishaq, Ishmael and Isaac. Keep me away, keep me from worshipping idols. It means worshipping idols at that time was a disease, a rampant disease, a common disease. So protect me. A dua that he made for himself and his family, because it is so dangerous. So dangerous. And then he says, God, these idols sometimes are misleading and deceiving. I've been to temples. I've been in Africa, in India, in China, in Japan, and other countries to temples. When you look at the idols, wow, attractive. Gold-plated idols. They put decorations. They spend millions of dollars to decorate the idol and the temple. So these are misleading for the ordinary people. Ordinary people, naive people, they are taken away, blown away by what? By the decoration. When something is decorated, they think this is real God. Look at the decor, look at what he wears, look at the gold, look at the silver, look at the diamond, look at the, you know, gems. So he's God. Ibrahim saying, Rabbi innahunna, indeed these idols, adhlalna kathiran minan nas. Because of their decoration, because the way they appear, they are intimidating. Intimidating. They misled, adhlalna, they misled kathiran, an abundance of people. People are easily misled with wealth. People look at these structures. At one time, Islam and Christianity were fighting each other in Spain, in Southern Europe. So Muslims build a huge mosques with decoration, with a beautiful architect. The Christians build, you know, another cathedral, same style. Why? Because they say through the architect and the beauty and the grandeur of these buildings, we can attract. People are attracted by their eyes, what they see, not by their brain. Few people use their brain. Most people use their eyes. Wow, it's great that this must be the right religion. This is why God says, keep masajid simple. Clean, nice, but simple. No need for decoration in the masjid. Masjid is not a museum, my friends. This is what I am trying to say for 25 years, but sometimes it does not work for some people. It doesn't work. Masjid has to be simple. Simple. House of God. The beauty of the masjid is not the decoration. The beauty of the masjid is the content of the masjid. What is inside, the manners, the ibadah, the sense of humility, the akhlaq, the relationships of the people. That's what makes the masjid beautiful, not the decoration, not the gold and the silver. And this is some of the churches here, you know, they cost millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And outside the church, you find homeless people sleeping. God is unhappy. God says, don't spend the money on my house. Spend the money on my people here. Take care of those people. وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدًا أَصْنَامًا رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَا. Because asnam, these idols, are very deceiving. أَضْلَلْنَا كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. Then he says, فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Whoever follows my religion, he's from my family. And whoever does not follow my religion and my path, he's not my family. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فإنه مني ومن عصاني whoever disobeys me surely they have led astray many mankind so فمن تبعني فإنه مني. If you follow Ibrahim, then you join his spiritually, of course. You don't have to be biologically connected to him. Spiritually, ma'nawiyan connected to him. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي, on the other hand, those who disobey me, he does not say, oh God, curse them. What does he say? Look at Ibrahim. Look at the patriarch, the father, the grandfather. The grandfather loves his children. Even if they do wrong, he prays for their guidance. He doesn't pray for their curse and destruction. He prays for their guidance. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي, for those who disobey me, فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. You are truly, O God, you are forgiving, merciful. So basically he's saying, God, those who disobey me, don't destroy them, don't punish them. Have mercy on them. Bring them to guidance. Imam Muhammadin al-Baqir, alayhi salatu wassalam, has a hadith, a beautiful hadith. This is a gift for you. Because you nowadays you hear only bad news, coronavirus and this and that. At least one good news, you go back home now, inshallah, to have dinner and then go to bed. He says, مَنْ تَبِعَنَا فَهْوَ مِنَّا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Whoever follows us, follows our path, then he's from us, the family of the Prophet. Because Ibrahim in the Quran says, فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. God says in the, Ibrahim says in the Quran, oh God, whoever follows my tradition, he's my family. Even if his color is different, his language is different, his race is different, his country is different, but he's following the path of Ibrahim. So he's my family. Imam al-Baqir says, whoever follows us, we don't look at people as Arabs and non-Arabs and rich and poor and black and white. Whoever chooses to follow the path of Ahlul Bayt, then he is one from the people of Ahlul Bayt, the family. And this is exactly illustrated in the example of whom? Someone who did not speak Arabic. But the Prophet said, he's my family. Salmanu minna Ahlul Bayt. Because he followed my path. He's a sincere man. He became my family. I don't look at his race or his language. I don't care about this. I care about his soul, his iman, his commitment to Allah and his apostle and Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Tabi' Allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. Innaka mujibu ad-da'awat, innaka ghafiru al-khati'at. Please let's recite amman yujib. For many people in America and outside America who are sick and waiting for your sincere prayers and du'as. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين اللهم ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية. Tomorrow inshallah we have Salat al-Jum'ah. It will be at 12, but then the week after it will be at 1 inshallah. But tomorrow is the last week we're going to have inshallah Salat al-Jum'ah here at noon time, 12. And then as you heard, as a precaution, the celebration of Amir al-Mu'mineen on Saturday night, the Milad of Amir al-Mu'mineen, has been cancelled. To give us some time, you know, to stay with our families at home. And please, as I said in the previous weeks, let's refrain for the time being. I know many of us, including me, I cannot just say salam to people. I'd love to hug them and you know, shake hand. And this is the warm salam. Otherwise, it will be very cold, believe me. I go home, oh, wow, I didn't do salam today. But for a few weeks, let's refrain from shaking hand and, you know, hugging or kissing, especially kissing, please, please stay away, because really this is not healthy, not healthy. So, and once you leave, before, I suggest, before you go home, wash your hand. Once you enter your home, wash your hand. Don't freak out and don't worry. Don't worry. Some people are, you know, they cannot sleep the night. You know, they are very anxious, very worried, very stressed out. Don't. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. There are no many cases in this state. And inshallah, it will pass away, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.